author and finisher of our faith. Wow. His word continues forever and ever. That one song he sang earlier said, I want to be more like him. I mean, isn't that our goal in our life, to be more like Jesus? I mean, it is. I mean, it's just, we're never satisfied. I don't believe where we're at in our walk with the Lord. No matter how close we get to him, we still find we got some flesh hanging on, don't we? We still find ourselves we find ourselves being discouraged, I believe. But see, God doesn't want to discourage us. He's there to encourage us, not to play on words. I want to go back to what I spoke of with Brother Dan earlier. See, when God says that his word will not come back void, what he's saying, that as he's given us his word and we speak it, we speak out, his ears hears it and calls that word to be active. Think of that. So I want you to think that when you say a prayer or you speak God's word out, it returns back to him and it's done. It's still there. But what it does, it allows God to do what he says he's going to do. And with Barb, your bride there, praying for your grandchild, grandchildren to overcome the drugs, alcohol, that prayer continues on forever and ever and ever. Amen. And no doubt last night that prayer interceded. That prayer made a difference. That prayer moved upon that person who knew you to do something they never do, and actually use a third Narcan and then a fourth Narcan and brought them back. So today you might be looking at somebody, you might be looking at a situation, and you're saying there's no hope. I mean, you've done all you can do. But there's hope through Christ Jesus. And don't ever give up, and don't be discouraged. But I want to look at a couple of things from last week again this week. Just try to encourage us, remind us. But we look at the life of Christ, and that's who lives in us. And that's who we want to be. And as we're teaching on Wednesday nights, Carol is in the teaching this time, is what did Jesus do? What did he do every day? If we want to be like Christ, if we want to be like him, then we need to model ourselves after him. And when we go, the moment after Jesus was baptized, you're all very familiar when he was baptized and the Holy Spirit came down like a dove and touched him. Then the Holy Spirit led him out into the garden, or wilderness, I'm sorry. And he prayed and fasted for 40 days. You think, man, this is God in the flesh. What was he praying and fasting about? Well, you look at it, for 30 years now, he was a carpenter's son. He had his own job. He was hanging out with people. He had people his own age that he was hanging out with, you know. Now, Jesus never sinned. But can you go to a party today and have fun without sinning? A birthday party? Can they tell on a donkey? I mean, can't you? Okay. And so you have a good time there. But see, Jesus now, at this point when he's baptized, he's getting ready to separate himself from the world. Separate him from the things that he come to enjoy. Not to have those enjoyment things stand in the way of what God called him to do. And so out in the wilderness he went, he prayed, he's fasting, otherwise he's killing this flesh. He's killing the fleshly desires. Not forsaking his mother, not forsaking his friends, but putting God first. Putting God's calling on his life first. Putting down the sides of the things that he wants, and letting God have complete charge of his life. And that is the same thing we recognize that God wants for each one of us here. You hear me, church? Each one of us, you know, to do the same. To do the same thing. And he's calling a church, man, he's calling the church back up out of ashes, calling the churches back out of dormancy, calling the church back out of complacency. He's calling the church to rise. Rise up. Man, this is your greatest moment. I need you. I need you like never before. What would the scripture say? The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. He needs people not just in lip service, but total service. You know, and today what he's trying to say, okay, guys, man, you're doing awesome. Let's dig in deeper. Let's dig in deeper, okay? Because the things that you're going to encounter, the people who may start rejecting you more, they're going to hurt your feelings. But man, don't let them stop you what I've called you to do. Because the ones that's hurting your feelings today need you more than anything. Ones who are despising you today for following Jesus, that just shows you how much they need you. We look at Jesus and we look at his final days. I mean, he just walked around telling people how much God loves them. And man, I come to rescue you from your sins. I come to, man, to tear down the religious seat or set, I want to say. I come to make it personal. Your relationship with your Heavenly Father personal through me. It was all good news, was it? But look what people did. They despised it. They took it as being insulted. What do you mean? What do you mean there's no one good? What do you mean my father's the devil? Our father's Abraham. Well, when they come against Christ, come against his teaching, who is his father? It's not God, is it? It's the devil. See, we were born in sin. We were born with our father being the devil. Any amens? Yeah, I mean, we were born in sin. And that's who our father was. And what we do, we listen to our father. I'm not talking about your earthly fathers, please. But we listen to him. And how did we know that that father was lying to us? How did we know that he was teaching us wrong? Well, for many of us, it comes from your parents. You know, it comes at the end of a paddle or a hand, did it not? Amen? Boy, my mom and dad so mean. No. That's how much they loved you. You look back now and say, man, okay. They loved me enough to get me upset with them. They loved me enough that I get mad and won't talk to them for a couple of days. Oh, my. Peace and quiet. They probably did that on purpose, right? Yeah, now I understand that. But when you're in the world, you know, if you told me, let's go back when I'm 25 years old, okay? A couple years ago. If I run into someone, I'll pick on my brother Chuck back here. He's right in line with me. I share a lot. I pick on him a lot or use him a lot. But if me and Chuck was hanging out working together, and he's in church, I'm not in church, and I'm in the world, okay? Good guy in the world. And he come to me and says, well, Stark, I hate to tell you this, but your father is a devil. You know how much longer him and I would be friends? What do you mean my father is a devil? Well, the Bible says this. Now, no doubt he would not say your father is a devil if he's trying to share the light to me. You know what I'm saying? He would take me to Scripture. And it would be a process. Trying, okay, let's open Starkey's eyes up a little bit. Let's find out here what he's... how far does he know about God? What does he know about the Lord? Because I'm telling you walk up somebody on the street and say, you know what? Your father is a devil. Your witnessing time, that person is over with. So what we need to do is show, number one, is what? God's love. God, look what God has done. Look how much he loved us. We share that love through Jesus, right? Man, you know we were born in sin? I never knew that, did you? What do you mean he was born in sin? Well, the Bible says that, you know, well, no, God made me this way. No, he didn't. God made two people to reproduce and for the reproduce and sin. So you and I have a sin nature. You know, oh, wow, I didn't know that. And the Bible says if we have that sin nature as a sinner, that the devil's our father. So see how we can slowly go into that? But when we do that, people's not always going to receive that, is he? Are they? They might get offensive to you. But the question is today, how much do you love them? what God is asking. How much do you love me? How much do we love Jesus? How much do we love God? He said, okay, I'm going to ask you to do something really weird, man. I'm going to ask you to die to yourself. I need you to go to the cross like I did. I need you not to be so offended. I need you to get to the point in your life that when somebody persecutes you or someone befriends you, for my sake, I want you to rejoice. Meaning that you're sowing seeds exactly where I want you to. You know, we all like to be around people who like you, right? I mean, we do, hey, okay. And so we kind of gravitate that way. You know, we all hang out, you know. We shared just before. Back there could be the Michigan fans. Up here would be the Ohio State fans. This here could be the Browns fan. If we walked in and had different banners, we'd all go probably to the same one that we had alliance with, you know, Browns up here. But if I really believe the Browns is the best football team in the world, yeah, if I really believe that, well, I go back here to the Steelers fans, and I would start sharing with them about Bernie Kosar, or maybe not Bernie, but some of them, you know. But I would slowly want to open their eyes. I know if I come back here and say, boy, the Steelers are terrible, blah, blah. Well, they'll show me, what, 5 or 6 Super Bowl rings, probably? But I came around them and started sharing with them. But you know, the Browns did this, and just slowly start making them think. Making them think, well, maybe the Browns isn't that bad. Now, that's probably a poor example because the Browns have never really been that much to cheer about. Keep that faith, yes. And so we look at what did Jesus do? You know, he didn't just hang around the folks who liked him, right? You know, when he multiplied the bread and the fish and stuff, he said, okay, guys, just stay there. And he just stayed there and let him pat him on the back. Man, you're awesome. Boy, be me again, you know. No, he went to those who despised him, those who didn't believe him, those who rejected him, those thought, man, he's a lunatic. He went around them. Because didn't he say he came for those who are sick and not for the well? So he went around, but in order to do that, in order to be around people who might even try to kill you, some of them verbally are talking about you all the time. But in order to have that thick skin, that motivation to do it, what does the master do? Pray, fasted, seek God. And I believe as he fasted, I mean, he's got more connection with God. He's hearing God's clear, and he knows that without a doubt what God's calling on his life is. Without a doubt. That's one thing that fasting does. It draws us closer to God. Not because we're not eating, especially. It's because we are more sensitive. You ever go without food for a day, and then you smell food from 2 blocks away or 4 blocks away? Oh, wow. Okay. If you just ate a big meal, you walked outside, you wouldn't really pay that much attention to it because you are stuffed. Okay? Well, in the same way with the Lord, you know, that the more that our spirit is awakened, the more we can smell that food, if I can call his word food, not from 2 blocks away, but 6 blocks away, pretty soon, a mile away, you can hear that voice of the Lord speaking. That's where the fasting comes in at. Number one, fasting humbles yourself, but opens you up to hear the word of God, like you've never heard before, and to strengthen you. When we look at truly at what God has called us to do, and that is be his light in darkness, be the salt of the earth, it is being tough skin, lovingly tough skin, meaning that we're not going to compromise, and we're not going to let people hurt our feelings. Man, when I look at the master, and I share this every Easter, I know that, but from the cross, when he can look down at all the people who made fun of him, all them who plucked his hair out and beat on him and stripped him naked and put a reed on his head and beat it on, and he can look down and say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And a lot of them folks were religious people, were they not? And the other one was his fans. Some of them just as fans hanging out thinking, all right, man, we're going to win and we're going to take over Jerusalem. I might be the tax collector again. You know what I'm saying? Matthew might have a new, I'll have a better job this time, you know. They had this portion of what he came to do. And they turned on him so quickly. But for us today, I believe, as we study the scriptures, I don't think we can be uneducated in what he called us to do. When we truly look at it, yes, born again, rescued from our sins. He said, okay, I want you to do what I did. I want you to follow me. I want to use you. I'm the head. I want your hands and your feet. I want your voice, but I want your flesh. I want you to get it under control. I want you not to be so easily offended. I don't want you to be so upset when someone speaks something different than you. I want you to love them. I want them to look at you and look at me. I want people to look at me and find no offense in me. They won't be able to say one thing bad about me. I know it's impossible, probably. But that's my goal through Christ Jesus. If they have to look at me and say something, it has to be a lie, especially when it comes to the Word of God. You know, when they say, oh, I don't believe that, but here's the Word of God. Yeah, I know, but I don't. Okay. I'm not going to be offended. I was there one time. I rejected God's Word. I rejected what He said. I didn't believe it because I was okay. I was never as bad as Bonnie Haig. Amen? I don't mean amen on that part of it. But we go back to look at the Master, and again, it's prayer, it's fasting, separating ourselves from our fleshly desires to be all that God wants us to be today. I mean, Esther, we quote Esther a lot here, that you were born for a time like this. Think of that. A lot of you guys have been through a lot in your life. You've done a lot of awesome things in your life. God used you in mighty ways. But who knows whether He's used you yet for the main thing that He called you for. Your brother Bob's 94 years old, 93 years old, right around there. And you've been through a lot, been through the war, been through everything. But you may have never even got to what God has laid upon you to do. You know that? Of all the stuff. Oh, yeah. You're witnessing, praying for folks, whatever it is. You might not even have touched it yet. Wow. And for somebody sitting there, yeah, but I really haven't done that much. Look at the lives you've touched. Look at the lives through your ministry here that you saved. Look at the lives that's in heaven today because your willingness to share the gospel. Oh, I don't share much. I work a lot. Yeah, but you support the ministry. I pray you're praying for the ministry every day. Amen? So when I say, hey, boy, this guy this past week come to know Jesus, it's us. It's your prayer. It's all that brought that man in. It's the Spirit of God living in a desire. That we don't want to be complacent, do we? I don't think we want to get to the point anymore where it's just, I don't think we want peace anymore. What I mean by that, if we have peace, then we know we're out of the battle. Amen? If we can sit down and say, oh, nothing going on today. No, we have peace in the Lord. I don't want to mess people up there. But I don't want to be on the sidelines. As I pray through this, okay, what's the next thing, Lord? What's the next thing? What's going on? Man, what? Now, I don't want to be like I said the other day, but that guy shook the door. I don't want to just touch the doors. Oh, nothing going on today, Lord. I want to rattle. God, what is it? Who's struggling out there? Who is it? Give me somebody in my heart today, Father, I can intercede for. Let me pray. Bring me the birds of the world, God, because you live in me and you overcame the world. But not giving up. And folks, without Christ, many of us would have gave up already. Many of us wouldn't be here today. We might be here physically somewhere out there. But Christ rescued us. I thank God. He gave me a plan and a purpose. He gives me my life. I love my wife, my kids, and my families. But Christ in me is what keeps me going one day to another, to another, to another, for His purpose. Otherwise, we're all ready to go home, right? We're all ready to go to heaven? Right. But, you know, one more day. And knowing that when you pray, you think, oh, man, I've been praying. I won't mention his name. Bonnie, I know somebody you've been praying for a long time, okay? Them prayers are not being limped. They're a powerful prayer. You understand the adversary that we're fighting. He wants to wear you down and say, okay, when we speak God's word and it goes out there, it'll do exactly what he said it'd do, but then we can call that word back. Do you know that? We can cancel that word. Amen. I mean, we have to watch it. And why would I cancel? It'd be, you've been praying and praying. I give up. Forget it. I'm not praying anymore. That prayer ain't doing no good. And just... And out of frustration. Amen? So we got to understand that those words that we pray, that God's words that we speak, are out there doing exactly what they're supposed to do. And Dan, Brother Dan, man, God, I don't know what's going on. What's wrong with my grandson? I mean, man, why does get back with the Lord and hang out more and look what happened to him? Well, Dan, thank God that you got the Lord. Now, I know it had to be terrible last night when you get that phone call. But look what took place. The number one thing you called for prayer. Then you told my wife how Barb always been praying for him, and you've been praying for him. See, that word was there. That was. So don't think. And many of our older folks here, not old, but older, we have grandchildren, and some of us got great grandchildren. And I know the way the world is today is like, it's like, man, I don't understand them. Anybody got grandchildren or great-grandchildren you don't understand? Yeah. It's the same way that we were probably those kids two generations back, maybe. But the thing is, don't give up. We are the only hope they have, and that hope is Christ living in us. Amen? It's the prayer that, and Satan will try to wear you down, try to say, okay, just give up. You might have a prayer list, and then maybe that old song, anybody know who Meatloaf is? Not the dinner, but the singer Meatloaf. Probably not well. He used to have a song, and it goes, 2 out of 3 ain't bad. Anybody not familiar? Probably. Okay, well, never mind. But maybe we never get to the point, 2 out of 3 ain't bad. It's 3 out of 3 is our goal. And that's what we want. Oh, I tell you, man. I want to turn to the scripture and show you one thing that kind of, and you're familiar with it, but I want to share a couple of things with you here this morning. Number one is staying focused on what you want to do, but also taking in the consideration of others. And some of you have testified before, you've been in the doctor's office waiting for the doctor, waiting for your report, waiting to listen to him, see what he's going to tell you. And in the waiting room, you find someone's got a heavy burden. And you find yourself praying for them. And amongst of your own turmoil, you pray for somebody else. That's what Christ did he not? You know, I have a scripture here that shows, I'm in Mark 10:46. And this is the master. He's getting ready to go into Jerusalem. He's going to enter into his final day in the human flesh right before the crucifixion. And I don't want to get ahead of myself. Yeah, I want to share a couple parts here. And Mark 10:11. Well, hang on a second. 10:46. Yes, and this is Jesus going into Jerusalem. Jesus knows the scriptures, amen? He knows what it says in Isaiah. He's read the things that's going to take place. It was prophesied hundreds of years earlier that he would be crucified. And that was before crucifixion was even invented yet. Wow. I don't know about you, but I don't know how nervous I would be. If I went back here and got a hold of Greg, come on, brother. We're going to walk across the street here, and they're going to put you to death. I don't know how calm you would be. I don't know how calm I would be. But look at Jesus. Here he goes. He's walking toward Jerusalem. I decided on chapter 10, verse 46 of Mark. But we can read whichever, wherever you're at, you know. We was watching, I think it was the Gaithers the other night. I think that's who it was. Or maybe it was Statler or something. But they said, okay, let's sing our favorite song. And all of them sang a different song, their favorite, you know. So it's all read their favorite scripture, you know. But verse 46 says, and they came to Jericho. And as he was going out from Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. And when he heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And many were sternly telling him to be quiet, but he kept crying out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Again, this is Jesus walking toward Jerusalem, walking toward the crucifixion, going to put the sins of the world on his shoulders. And there's one fellow crying out to him, have mercy on me. Hey, how about me? I'm blind. Now the master says, you're blind. I'm going to be dead in 7 days. And he kept on going. But look what the one that we follow says. And Jesus stopped and said, call him here. And they called the blind man, saying to him, take courage, arise, he is calling for you. And casting aside his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus. And answering him, Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, Rabboni, or teacher, I want to regain my sight. And Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he regained his sight and began following him on the road. Now, we look at that scripture for a moment and we see that when they're crying out to Jesus, the rest of them try to be quiet. I mean, this is the Son of God, the miracle worker. And they're taking, they don't know what's going on yet. He has told them what's going to happen. A blind fella. That's Jesus. I heard about him. Jesus! And his friends say, don't bother him. Don't bother him. But Jesus, wait. This is my purpose that I came for. And sometimes that happens to us. As followers of Christ, and you're going to do something for the Lord, and he's called you to do something. And friends say, wait, don't do that, man. You can do that. You can do that tomorrow. Set aside for the day. Well, come on. Jesus will understand. But what I'm saying to you, when Christ had called us to do something, that's the number one priority, amen? And the world sometimes won't understand that. They won't understand that. Why? I mean, this is a beautiful day out today. But why are you going to go to the church and hear the Word of God? Come on. Hey, next Sunday it's supposed to rain. But no, I want to go learn. Now, I'm not speaking to anybody who's not here today. I know a lot of folks aren't here today. They have stuff they got to do. I'm saying that's what friends will try to stop you. Let's take this guy here, okay? Bartimaeus, he's blind. Hey, Jesus. And their friends. Hey, don't bother him. Hey, when he comes back through next week, we can give you a sight back. Just wait another week. What would have happened? Was Jesus coming back in a week? He's going to be dead in 4 days. That guy calling out for the Lord. And folks, you know how much faith blind Bartimaeus had? Bartimaeus, I said. Oh, sure he is. Pretty good, Aunt Mom. Because he says this. Verse 49 again. And Jesus stopped and called him, "Come here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take courage, arise. He is calling for you." Wow! This guy's yelling for you. Hey, Jesus! Woo! Hey, over here! Hey, over here! You know, hey, I'm blind. I like to see you again. I like to see you again. And you know what happened? And then they, "All right, come on, I'll see you." You know how he exercised his faith at that moment? What's the Word of God say he did next? He did what? He threw off his cloak. You see the faith it took to do that? He said, "Well, no, Pastor, not quite." That cloak that he had was a cloak given to him to wear to beg. He was blind. And that gave him permission to sit on the road and say, "Give me, give me, give me." It was a special cloak that he wore, the beggar could wear. Now look at the faith that he had in Jesus. Now let me say, this is, oh wow, okay. Hey, you answered me, huh? Okay, well, I'm going to lose this here. Anyway, hey, all right, woohoo! I'm going to take this off. Because I'll tell you what, I know Jesus. I know he is a healer. I heard what he's done. And so, I'm going to take this off. My cloak to give me permission to beg. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to hang on to it just in case. Just in case. I don't want to throw this down. I'm going to hang on just in case I don't get my eyesight. This faith. Because the minute he took this, yes, Jesus, and he threw it down, anybody now could pick that up and run with it and sit along the road. He is either all Jesus or nothing, because he wasn't coming back to his cloak. He surrendered it. That was the faith that he had in Jesus. How did he get that faith? Somebody been talking. Somebody been bragging about Jesus. What he done for their life, or what he did for their kid's life, or their father's life. Man, that built his faith up. Now, folks will tell you, it could be you. And you have faith in the Word of God. You have faith in Jesus. You say, "Hey, I don't need this anymore." Hang on to it. Come on, just please hang on to it. Now, I know you love the Lord. I know you're a religious person, okay? But we just feel better if you just hang on to this. Just keep this, just in case. See how quickly we can go from faith to doubt? Faith, I know what he did for them, he'll do for me also. I know he will. But just in case he don't, man. Just hang on to it. Well, maybe you're right. Maybe I better hang on to it. And here comes Satan. "Well, who are you? Why would he want to do that for you? Remember what you did before?" Well, so quickly, we can go from faith to doubt. And God wants to keep you in the faith zone, amen? So how do we stay in the faith zone? Stay around people like-minded in faith, loving Jesus. They encourage you. When that doubt starts coming to your mind, let's get rid of that butt now. Come on. And we share scripture. We pray with you. We cast down that doubt coming into your mind. Wow. Ready for another day. Did the Master do exactly what he said he's going to do? And here he is again. Jesus cast down his... Yes. Wisdom.
You know what
I mean?
Like
you're saying, doubt.
So the doubt that don't
be
deceived, because others
make that a lot of money. And they might think that's wisdom. Oh, right, yeah. Right. Amen. Amen. Yeah, there, and the world won't understand. With Ryan Sanders, some people say, "Hey, this is wisdom, you know. You just hang on." But we're talking about your faith, okay? Your faith. And when that faith takes you up that high, then you want to hang on to it. God will lead you. Amen? I'm telling you what. He will. But Jesus, and here he was. Look what he did for this man. Restored his eyesight. No longer begging. If got a family, you got a job now, support the kids, send them to college, hang around people. And what I love about here, he says, in the last part of that verse 52, and immediately he regained his sight and began following him on the road. Isn't that awesome? He became a follower of Christ. I mean, he didn't get his eyesight and took off for the downtown tavern or the local pool hall or back, whatever it was. He didn't want his eyesight back to do the things of the world. He said, wow. Yeah, I wonder, and we sat there blind and think, man, how did I waste my eyesight? Or I want to see. And man, when he got new life, got his sight, man, he wanted the things of Jesus. And long he hung out with people of Jesus, that's what he's going to look at, right? But people start, oh, come on. People who don't know the Lord will always try to entice those who follow him. Don't be a fanatic. Why? Because they don't understand. Amen? They don't understand. And so when they do that, don't be mad at them. They just don't understand. But no, I'm sorry. Not today, Dan. No, I'm not. Thanks anyway, but not today. But hey, I got church Wednesday night. You want to come with me? Oh, okay. You got to change the socks in the drawer. Okay, I understand. Okay. But just always stay open. Because you don't know what's going to take place in that person's life. That they're going to recall what you have said, what you have shared, or how you live your life for Jesus. And they're going to come. Just kind of like they did on the road there. Jesus! Hey! Jesus! And he had been so busy with his life, saying, you think you got problems? Well, hey, I've been around here how long now? Been around in this town, hanging around for 3 years? 3 years? You've been blind? And you wait this last moment to call me? It could be us. It could be us as we witness to folks, tell them about the Lord, and they don't get it, they just, And here you are, you're getting ready to go out to dinner. Woo-hoo! The phone rings. And you think, oh, I shouldn't answer it. I got dinner going on, man. I got prime ribs and I got baked potatoes. I got things I want to do. And the phone rings and it's Starkey. I say, Hey, Bonnie, I was thinking about you told me about Jesus. I'm telling you, I need to talk to you. Yeah, I know. Prime rib. I understand. I didn't mean to bother you. Okay, sorry. I'll call back later. Wow. It could be the same thing that we encounter there at blind Bartimaeus. Jesus wasn't coming back through again. The Holy Spirit might not be moving back across my heart again to call Bonnie. Maybe I was fighting the devil. He said, man, I'm going to start, you know, check out, man. You're worthless. You're no good. Nobody loves you. You have no use for you in life. And I'm almost ready to believe that. I remember Bonnie told me something about this dude who loved me, died on the cross, will give me a new life, he'll resurrect me, he'll make a purpose of my life. Bonnie! So we can find ourselves. We need to look at ourselves, make sure that most of the time, I would say, the opportune time to come to witness someone is going to be very inconvenient to you. Then, amen? I mean, it's never an inconvenience to witness. But I'm saying it will come at times where you have other things planned. It's kind of like myself, for years in law enforcement. You get an anniversary dinner, you get Christmas dinner, you get a family gathering. And that's when somebody decides to do something stupid. And they call you, SWAT team out, and you got to go. Hang on, and my wife baked me a cake. you tell the guy to stay in the bank, that gun, I'll be there in about 25, 30 minutes. You got to go when it's time to go, right? Amen. And that's where we have to, and I'm telling you, the victories, man, can you imagine the people? Wow, Jesus did this? What a testimony. But let's look at one more yet. Let's go. Oh, hold on. Are you still awake? Not you guys. I'm talking about. Let's go to Matthew 20. Verse 17. Is it warm in here today? I just got a lot extra hot air. And no comment. But I love looking at the scripture. I love taking them, break them down like this and say, wow. Now they're still going. They're still going towards Jerusalem. Verse 17, Matthew 20. This is actually talks about right before the. This actually took place right before blind Bartimaeus come to know Jesus, I believe. Let me double check here. Yeah. So, but I'm in Matthew this time, not in Mark. Matthew 20, verse 20. Nope, I lied to you. Verse 17. Matthew 20, verse 17. Don't give up on me, guys. I'll get there sooner or later. As Jesus was about to go up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside by themselves, and on the way he said to them, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests and scribes, and they will condemn him to death, and will hand him over to the Gentiles to mock and scourge and crucify him, and on the third day he will raise them up." Wow. Otherwise, hey, we're going in here, we're going to Jerusalem, they're going to kill me. They're going to crucify me. I'm going to die in the town. He's telling his disciples. So what are we going to do? Verse 20. So the mother of the sons of Zebedee came to Jesus with her sons, that'd be James and John, I believe, yes, bowing down and making requests of him. I'm going to die. I'm going to be crucified. So mama comes in and bows down. Hey, Lord. He says, what do you wish? She said to him, command that in your kingdom, these two sons of mine may sit one on your right and one on your left. But Jesus answered and said, you do not know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I'm about to drink? And they said to him, we are able. And Jesus said to them, my cup you shall drink, but to sit on my right or on my left, this is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father. And hearing this, the 10 became indignant with the two brothers. But Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. It is not this way among you, but whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. So, and instead of having any compassion on Jesus, you know, instead of saying, hey, Jesus, man, you're gonna die? You're going to be crucified? You're going to give up your life? Hey, let's take a different route. You know, is there any other way? Let's take up a special offering. Let's do something. Man, we love you, Jesus. But what did it do? Right away, it was like, hey, dude. I'm not insulting Jesus when I call him dude. I'm just making everyday language now. Hey, come on, boys. Hey, come here. Can you have a special place in your kingdom? You know, they're really good kids. I'm telling you what. Man, I'm telling you what. They follow you. James and John, they love you. Hey, can I have a special place? Now, remind you, in this crowd, there's a lady by the name of Mary, mother of Jesus. Now, her son had just said, I'm going in there, I'm going to die. Can you imagine how heavy her heart is? Even though she knew she had a virgin birth, she knew who he was, or is. Now I can see if I could be married for a second. I said, oh, Bob. Oh, when I just hear him say that, my heart breaks. I know he's come to do this. But man, we're getting closer to Jerusalem. We're getting so close to him. Oh, this little guy that I raised. Oh, I remember the first time he built that little cross. Well, he didn't build a cross. He didn't have him yet. Well, the first thing he built in school, I would. Oh, he's going to die. Can you imagine the mother's heart? But over here's another mom right beside Mary. Hey, Jesus, hey, can my brother, can my son be on the right-hand side of you in heaven? She's saying, hey, man, my son's going to be murdered here in a minute. Didn't think at all about Mary. Wasn't thinking, I don't even think at all about really about Jesus. Right away, hey, I want my sons to be recognized. I want them to have the best place in heaven. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to have desires for your children. Don't get me wrong there. We want them to be the best, all they can be. But look how quick they didn't recognize what Jesus was telling them, I don't think. It hadn't sunk in yet. But look what they do then. They stopped, had this conversation. Then what happens? What happened? We see here in verse 29, similar to what we just read. As they were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him, and two blind men sitting by the road, hearing that Jesus was passing by, cried out, Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David. The crowd sternly told them to be quiet. Hey, shut up! We can detain Jesus. We can ask for ourselves. We can try to get the best place in heaven, the right seats. But shut up! Wow. See, they had their eyes more focused on themselves. Not having mercy on those blind folks. You know? But what did the master do? We read. Called them, gave them sight. In the midst of his turmoil, when no one really cared much that he was dying, they were battling for positions, he still stopped. Because I truly believe in his heart, he's saying, okay, these dudes just don't understand yet, do they? He didn't get mad at them. Did he continue going to Jerusalem, did he not? Because that was his purpose. He knew eventually the truth would catch up with them. He knew that as they were fighting over positions and not sure what they were doing, that a time was going to come that they were going to be empowered. They were going to be empowered by that Holy Spirit. And they were never, ever going to turn back again. It just took a little time. It took time to get their understanding. And he loved them. Myself, in the flesh, I might have got that donkey a lot earlier than they got it for me and rode off in the sunset. I'm tired of it. I try to tell you guys. I try to share with you. I showed you all these signs. And you know, all you want to do is talk about where you're going to sit at. And then you try to keep people from coming to me who I've come to touch and save and show myself. Oh, man. All right, God. Father, give me more strength. One more day. I'll give you four more days. And I'll come to know. And folks, us, the same way. He was able to overcome these by his prayer, his fasting, hearing the voice of God, strengthening, reconfirming, no doubt in my mind, that the calling was on his life. When he was in the garden, and boy, he just felt the heaviness of the world on him. He had to say, Father, not your will, but my will. Not my will, but your will be done. Having time with God. And folks, we won't find ourselves the same way. Okay, God, this is so heavy what I'm seeing in this world. But God, not my will, your will. And as we continue to submit to his will, he'll do the same to us as he did to his son. He sends his angels to minister to strengthen us. And next thing you know, you're going from your tears and grief and crying out. You've been lifted up. We call it praying through, amen? And you know that you've done the will of our Heavenly Father. And we see the same thing, I'll just paraphrase here, with Peter. When Peter and James was out testifying, what happened to James, if you recall, they killed James. They're sharing the gospel, living for Jesus. And they arrested Peter. Couldn't kill him right then because it was a weekend. It was time of the, I can't think of the proper name, the Jewish name for it. But anyway, They couldn't do anything with him till the following Monday. So they put him in prison. And the church folks, we call them church folks, followers of Jesus, they heard about James was beheaded. Now Peter's in, he's in jail. And Monday he's going to be gone. Well, they were good old boys, weren't they? Yep. They were good old boys. Oh, Peter loved Jesus. Oh, James. Yep. What's going on? Oh, they killed James Friday. Now they're going to kill Peter on Monday. Oh, man. Well, he's going to take over leading the church. I mean, Peter was in charge of the church. The first bishop. We'll get together on Tuesday and we're going to vote on a new leader of the church, okay? Might be a proper thing to do. Well, that sounds good to me. Well, that sounds like wisdom, doesn't it, son? But somewhere in the crowd, now this is Starkey's version, okay? But I want to show you what they did. The scripture said that they gathered together and they prayed. They might have took out James, but we're interceding for Peter. Maybe if James, they didn't think that he could be put to death. I don't know. But when Peter went into the jail, man, they got together, the scripture said, and they started praying for him, interceding for him. How were they praying? Were they praying, God, release Peter, set him free? Oh, Lord, strengthen Peter, that he'll be a witness there. When he comes out Monday and they're going to kill him, that he'll just testify to them and break the hearts of those who want to kill him, Lord, and they'll come to know you and be born again. And see. I believe all that. I believe all that's taking place. They're interceding and praying, you know. They might have got James, I'm telling you, not our watch. We're going to intercede. We're going to let God's will be done. And if it is for Peter, time's up, so be it. But till that time, we're going to pray that he'll be released, he'll be restored to us, he'll be a witness to other people. We're not giving up on him. Yes, but James died. He's doing the same thing. That was James, okay? That's James. I don't know what God's will in James' life was. If it was done, I'm not sure. But this is Peter, and I'm not giving up on Peter. Yeah, happened to James, but not for Peter. Not today, not on my watch. I'm going to intercede. I'm going to pray. I'm going to stand in the gap. And Peter got released, did he not? God sent an angel to open the locked doors to set him free from the chains around them. He says even the angel had to wake Peter up. Laying there, I'll be cold in the morning, or Lord, whatever. But the church wasn't done yet. And folks, let ourselves be the same way just because this took place, the Uncle who, or aunt who, or this person, or that person, or this person, saying, oh, it's over. No. Don't give up. As God's called us to intercede and pray, let His will be done. But if we look at the Master, it was through His prayer time and fasting. He went to the Garden of Gethsemane. What was He doing? He was praying. He knew the next day he had a big thing he was going to get involved in, or actually that night. He wanted strength to do it. For us, oh Lord, I'm going to be around. What's his name tomorrow? What's his name tomorrow? I'm praying tonight. I'm interceding. These walls separating them from the gospel will be torn down. That heart will be softened. Father, you'll lead me the right words to speak. Lord, I'll share that gospel and it'll penetrate those thick walls that this world has built around this person's heart, around their mind, and they're going to be set free. And I'm telling you, you'll see what God will do. So you are somebody. You were born for this time. Christ came to rescue us. He said, okay, be faithful, follow me. And as you're going through some of the toughest trials in your life, because He said we'll be persecuted, keep your ears open. For those who are blind, that finally call out to you. Because who knows? That might be your greatest moment. That might be why you were called for a moment like today. Amen? Amen. Anybody have any questions today? Any questions about prayer and fasting? We have one more on that next week. But again, this week I'll ask you, if you want, during this week, if you intercede with me to pray and fast again for our nation and our children and our children's children, that involves the laws that are being passed. I'm praying this week for every drug dealer in town to be caught. I'm praying against that spirit of addiction that's come against our children, against that spirit of worthlessness, that they be revitalized. And you run across one of these youngsters, and they're not like us. But don't be afraid of them. When their hair is stuck out here, and they got piercing in their ears hanging down to their shoulders and their nose, they're going through a thing. I don't understand it, okay? But they need to be loved also. They need that love. Sometimes that's why they have that. I mean, it's not uncommon. Demonic attacks a person when you have a cutter. They cut themselves. They do that heavy stuff like that. That's a spirit that's trying to get them to destroy themselves. Smile at them. Love on them. Well, I don't mean don't hug them. They might hug them. I mean, don't be afraid of them. In Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Amen. God is great.